So, okay, let's get started in now. Okay, hi everyone out there, this is Dennis from Win With Women, and today I'm talking to AFC Adam. I don't know if you know him, but you should, you really should, and you're about to find out in his interview why you should know about him and his stuff. And let's get to it, Adam.
Thanks, man.
Well, probably every listener out there knows you're a pickup artist, just like myself. So I'd like to skip the whole "who are you" part, because everybody probably already heard that stuff. So
yep.
let's get straight down to business,
cool.
which is social game, you know, meeting
yep.
women through your social circle.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. Well, the first question I gotta ask you is, what's the biggest mistake men make when it comes to social game?
The biggest thing is that they've somehow got it in their head that they're expected to be sleeping with every single girl, you know.
Yeah.
And it's a massive problem. Like, you're not, like, guys say to me, well, if I'm supposed to have this big social circle of girls, how do you expect me to do it if I can't even get one girl? And like, well, the problem is there, you're not trying to sleep with all of these girls. You really are just trying to add them to your life as a friend. And that's like the biggest mistake that people make. It's so much easier to just make female friends than it is to try and sleep with girls.
Exactly.
And most of the time, the problem they're having is they're just trying too hard to sleep with them, which is why they're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, well, you know what it is, Adam? Most men, when they meet women out there, you know, online, in the clubs and bars, doesn't matter. But they basically assume that when she's not love material, you know, dating material, she's actually garbage, right? And
yeah.
The thing about social game is, when you start thinking about things from a social perspective, is when you know she's not dating material, or when she's not that into you, which sometimes happens, you know, girls and their fetishes, right?
Yeah.
But they forget the fact that you also have, like, the friend interest, right? Because you never know who she knows, and who she can introduce you to, right? And that's the whole
yeah,
problem,
exactly. But
right?
But there's more to it than that. Like, a guy that hangs around with girls, he starts to develop these traits that other men don't have. For example, if you hang out with girls, they will make a point of, when they come to your house, complaining that you haven't done the dishes, or that your room's messy, or they'll buy you flowers to tidy up your room. And these are so stupid little things that most guys don't care about, but it actually illustrates to other people you have women in your life. Like, you'll
yeah.
randomly turn up and your shirts will be ironed. Why? Because you've had one of your female friends come over your house and she said, oh, you never do your ironing. Look, let me iron your shirts for you. But something that small actually speaks wonders to other girls. A student on one of our boot camps made a massive mistake the other day. He was crossing the road with Amanda, my wife.
Yeah.
And he a car came towards them. And he didn't slow down to, like, protect her. Instead, he ran across the road and left her in the middle of the road.
Shame on him.
Yeah, she's a big girl, right? She can look after herself and cross the road.
Yeah,
but instantly, she looked at me and she said, he hasn't hung around a girl for a very long time. And, you know, I called him out on it. I was like, come on, man, when was the last time you hung out with a girl? And he was like, yeah, it's been 9 months. He's been following another method of learning how to pick up chicks for 9 months. And during that time, hasn't interacted with a single girl, because if they weren't interested in him, he dropped them, which left him with no female interaction, to the point that he forgot that it's polite to help a woman cross the road.
Yeah.
And he telegraphed a lack of pre-selection in that one moment to my girlfriend. And if you don't have female friends in your social circle, you're going to be doing this a lot.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, right? Because women are very much into details. And that's because when you look at things, you know, from a genetical perspective, like the scientific stuff, when people still lived in tribes and that kind of stuff, well, basically, the men went out to, you know, get some food, slay a dinosaur or whatever, you know, you know what I'm talking
yeah.
about, right? And the women stayed at home. So what they had to do was, like, notice very subtle details about a changing environment, right? So, like, recognize threats that, men didn't pay attention to. And that's why women are that much into details, because they basically had to, genetically speaking, to look out for small changes in their environment, because they could be dangerous.
I mean, yeah, possibly, but I think, you know, something that's just as important, and maybe even bigger, is the fact that a girl doesn't want a guy that no other girl wants. Like, who
yeah.
wants to get everybody else's second best? And the thing is, she can tell very quickly if you've got women in your life, if you're making these little mistakes that are giving it away. So you want to make sure that she's thinking that she's getting the prize, you know? Just
yeah.
like you, she wants to get the best man she can possibly get. And that is a guy who other women want. And if you've got no females in your life, then you're illustrating the fact that nobody wants you.
Yep, exactly. So, well, basically, one of the other mistakes when it comes to social games is that guys usually, you know, hang out with their, like you said, they hang out way too often with their boys, but not necessarily with girls. And that's where the whole problem comes from, because, like I said, the devil's in the details, right? And if you don't give those signals, like, well, just like you said, iron your shirt, you know, that kind of little stuff, you're basically a telltale sign that you're not very good with women, because otherwise you would know that kind of stuff. And that's the whole, the background of social game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the real thing. But, you know, the big problem is in the community, especially, and anyone that's trying to be a pickup artist, is you're thinking, you know, it's basically a fraternity of guys. It's a bunch of guys that hang around together and talk about picking up chicks.
Yep.
But in reality, very few of them actually do it. Like, I would guess that half the people listening to this have approach anxiety, and it's the reason they're being held back. And the other half probably do really well, but just want to push themselves to get that much further. And if you're listening to this, you're one of the two. And the thing is, if you've got approach anxiety, going out with guys isn't the way you're going to solve it. You actually want to go out with girls, because girls will egg you on into going to talk to girls. Guys will just sit back, happy, drinking, and not bother doing anything. But if you get a girl who's a friend of yours, and you say to her you want to go out and meet somebody, she'll drag you out and make sure you meet somebody. She'll make sure you do it. And you're not going to want to look bad in front of a girl. So from an approach anxiety point of view, it's a great way of getting over it.
Now, if
you're the other kind of guy, somebody who does well but wants a better selection, then really what you want to do is you want to have a bunch of girls hanging around you that are going to make it a lot easier for you to find other girls, because you're pre-selected and you don't come across as a threat. You can then go up to the hottest girl in the room and start talking to her. And if you've got one girl on your arm, she's not going to think you're hitting on her. She's thinking, she's going to think you're just chatting.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the whole going out with females, you know, that's how I learned how to meet women. Because basically, whenever I went out with a girl, I just had this, you know, these kinds of plays and bets and role plays where I said, okay, I'll hook you up with a guy and you'll hook me up. And basically, that's a lot of fun learning how women look at other women, you know, because you can ask them, like, what kind of body language do you look for to tell if a woman is interested or not in me? And that's a lot more stuff than we usually think about, right? The body language.
That's exactly it, man. That's exactly it. You know, women really do know what they're doing, buddy. So, yeah, good job.
Yeah, because men are basically, when it comes to body language, Neanderthals, really.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, like you said, going out with a group of girls, you know, your whole entourage game stuff.
Yeah.
Can you, for my own listeners out there who probably don't really know what it's all about, can you give them a quick definition of it?
Yeah, exactly. One of the key things you want to make sure you're doing with entourage game. I developed this whole concept because I didn't just want pre-selection. I wanted extreme pre-selection. I wanted pre-selection that nobody else had. You know, at the time I was aiming to be Hugh Hefner, and eventually I ended up with, you know, I've read a lot about Hugh Hefner recently. I think honestly the lifestyle I was living was probably better than his, if you don't count money. If you look at it purely from a female point of view, you know, I literally had 14 girls at once. I would come back into my house and just have women that were just, you know, they're ready to do whatever you want. The idea is that you integrate these women in your life in such a way that they feel very comfortable being and hanging around other women, that they don't think that, you know, you're degrading them or treating them badly. You have great time with all of them. And you basically create a reason for them to hang around with you. Now, for me, back in the day, it was that we went clubbing together. We were part of the nightclub circuit in London. But I've actually helped some other people out developing their own entourage game and putting that together. And one of the ways that we did that is we organized an art gallery. So he actually has an art gallery in his house now, which is basically just a bunch of hooks on the wall that you can put up pictures. And he invites artists to come there once a month and display pictures in his house. And he throws a little party. And what happens is the kind of girls that he likes are very, you know, the artistic type of girls.
Yeah,
and he meets a lot of women that are interested in that. Yeah, and basically now his entire social life is filled with these beautiful artistic girls that put paintings on in his house and, you know, as part of his art gallery, which is great. It's the exact kind of lifestyle he wants. He doesn't hang around poors anymore. He hangs around girls that are of the exact kind of quality that he wants.
Yeah.
And it's all about really understanding how to decide who you date.
Yeah, that's also a good point about, you know, the whole meeting women through your social circle stuff. If you like gather a group of women around you who are like the type you want to be around with, like say just like you mentioned artistic girls, then it's probably a good idea to, you know, have your own art gallery in your own home. But say when it comes to Asian women, you know, if you gather a group of Asian women around yourself and, you know, you go to these, like in Holland, you have these Asian pride festivals and parties and stuff. When you go there, you're going to meet Asian women, lots of them, right?
Yeah, it's a good idea. But the trick with Entourage Game is to, of course, organize it so that they want to come out with you rather than just turning up to the festival and then still running around opening them. The idea is to organize one yourself, you know, perhaps organizing an Asian themed party, you know, like a, you know, I don't know, we're turning Japanese party or something, or whatever it is. But by organizing it yourself, you're that much more likely to be seen as the person who's pre-selected and in charge of the group.
Of course.
Way, you know, you're going to surround yourself with the kind of girls that you actually want to be with, in a position where you can actually do something about it and get the girls that you want.
Yeah, because when you organize the party, you're basically like the local maximum, right? The most dominant male around, because you own the place, you decide what happens, and basically when someone fucks up, you just say, well, get the hell out of my crib, right?
yeah, exactly. Although you really won't need to do that, because if you're pretty much only inviting women, you're not going to want to kick anybody out.
No, but...
Yeah, it's so easy.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, about the whole entourage game, you know, meeting women with a group of women, how would you pull that off on the streets? Do you pull it off on the streets?
Definitely. Well, I mean, we're not really talking about entourage game in that point. What we're talking about really there is just basic pre-selection. You can walk down the street with five girls that you picked up earlier, but at the end of the day, if you're walking down the street with five girls, you're really not going to be interested in speaking to any other girls, although you are going to have a lot of them looking at you. But I definitely suggest using pre-selection in street and day game. It's something that I've used all the time. And all you have to do is open somebody else before you open the person you want to talk to. If you imagine you're in a, say you're in Starbucks in a coffee shop and you're ordering a drink, then making the time to actually chat to the person that's serving you or the person next to you in the queue and getting them to laugh and giggle before you open the person you're interested in is going to really significantly increase things. Because you're pre-selected as being funny. Somebody else has already seen you talking to somebody else and they're having a good time with you.
Yeah.
You think, oh, well, they had a good time with him, so if he speaks to me, I'm probably going to have a good time with him as well.
Yeah, that's social proof right there, yeah.
Exactly, and it, you know, it's definitely something you want to be using. Although, like I said, to be honest, when you build your entourage game up, you have people that want to contact you. There are definitely some things that no one told me about in the community, and I'm convinced that most poors don't even know that these things exist, but I've definitely been witness to them, and one of the big ones, it's something that I've spoken to one of my friends about before, is something called referral sex. And referral sex happens.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, your entourage game gets so good that girls start approaching you who you've never met before, and they're suddenly all over you, and you're like, wow, what happened? And they're like, oh, my friend slept with you last week. She said you were great, you're a really cool guy. And then she just proceeds to get herself drunk and then throw herself at you. And you're like, oh my gosh, like this chick's like just coming all over me because her friend said that I was great. And it's a really powerful tool that, you know, it's not really spoken much about in the community, but
it's
a very, very, very good thing.
It's the whole reputation thing, you know, because most guys, when they come to me asking for advice about women, they're always come to me with an attitude like, I don't want to come across like I'm a player, you know, I don't want to come across like I know how to treat women and blah, blah, blah. They don't want to be obvious about it, right? But the thing is, they think a reputation is a bad thing. But actually, that's looking at how women think from a male perspective and not from a female perspective, right?
Yeah.
Because
the
moment you have a reputation, you know, one of the friends, I learned this stuff from a natural, his name is... Patrick, he's currently in Brazil shaking his thing, if you know what I mean. But the thing he taught me was when women know about that you're successful with other women, you're basically the grass is greener on the other side. That's the whole thing, right? They already know you're good in bed, and that's probably one of the characteristics they definitely want in a man. Let's be honest here.
The only psychologically proven trigger of attraction is pre-selection. You know, Benedict Jones did a study back in 2006, and they identified quite clearly with very significant results that women were attracted to men that other women were already attracted to.
Yep.
It's a very powerful, you know, people know about this. Like, when you've got a ring on your finger, it's that much easier to meet women. When you've got a girlfriend, you can find girls no problem. When you're single, it's hard. It's not a mistake. It's not a coincidence. It's a fact. Psychologically, women are attracted to people that other women have. Exactly like I was saying earlier, it's the key part of pre-selection and social proof.
Yeah, that's also like one of the psychological things, right, about attraction and the whole seduction thing is the moment you know someone is less available, you're more attracted to them, right? And when a woman sees or knows you have another woman or a girlfriend or a wife or blah, 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 that's basically the whole forbidden fruit part, right? You know, the Adam and Eve story where people are attracted to what's forbidden. That's the whole human nature, right?
Exactly that.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other things about a social game is I've noticed, you know, I've looked around to see if guys are talking about it in the community. It's like what I call and what Robert Greene, you know, Robert Greene of The Art of Seduction, the
yeah.
Famous, right? Yeah. Well, what he talks about is like contrast game. And what that basically means is, like you said about pre-selection, when you gather a group of women or, you know, guys and females around you and meet other women with that or thanks to that. But a contrast game is kind of where you, like, hang out with the lamest people around, but you're, like, the most dominant guy in the group. Say you go to an example, you go to a birthday of this girl you've known half your life, right? And you go there and the party is really lame. Boring, no music, no games, probably all the alcohol's already, you know, been used.
Yeah.
So you're basically boring yourself to death over there. And what you do is you step in and, you know, you create fun conversations, you know, you joke around, you show that you're very social and stuff. And just by the contrast between all those boring people and yourself, you attract women. So how, when you look at things from that perspective, would you use it and how would you use it?
Well, you see, from my point of view, really what's happened there is rather than contrast game, what they've actually done is the person's gone in and led people and created the vibe. They've basically gone into a situation that didn't have a definite leader, didn't have anyone creating it and making it how it should, and then they did that. I mean, it's still a version of pre-selection, you know. They're making themselves look cool, they're going around interacting and building social proof. It's exactly the same thing, and I think that's going to work in any situation. You don't have to go to a lame party to do it. You can go to, like, the coolest party on the planet. But as long as you make it look like the people that are around you are having more fun, then you're building up social proof and people will want to be with you. The trick is making sure you come off correctly. Yeah, the reason that I think Robert Greene's a great guy. Just the reason that I wouldn't suggest it was contrast game was because if you went to the coolest party on the planet and then you were to suddenly act like you were really, really lame, it wouldn't really do anything for you.
No, of course not. Of course not. No, but you know, one of the other things about, you know, the whole contrast when you look at things from a broader perspective is, well, at least that works in the Netherlands. I don't know if it works in other countries because I haven't tried it myself yet. But what you see is when you look at, like, in the Netherlands, you have like the Randstad. That means like the, you know, the biggest city in our country.
Yeah.
And, you know, the most popular dudes and girls go out there, hang around there, shop there, etc. But you have all these other parts of the country, like, you know, probably never known province, Groningen. I don't know if you heard of it. Probably not. But Groningen,
no,
you know.
I can say for that. But, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll go there on holiday.
Well, the thing is about those little known areas is once you go there, and that's where the whole contrast thing comes into play for myself, I think, is when you go there, what happens when you come from a big city, or rather when you have the attitude of the big city, like, you know, the fancy clothes, the talk, the conversational skills, the social skills, and you go to, like, one of the lesser known areas, what happens is all the guys over there are less social and less conversational and also less fashionable than you are. And what happens is those girls that live there basically can't go, you know, to the big cities every single day. And probably when you're living in a big country, that's like a no-no. That just can't happen. You know, they have a job, they have an education going on, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, when you go there, they, like, have to settle for those, you know, lesser males, if you like to call them that way. But, you know, those guys with less skills and less pre-selection. Is that they have to kind of settle for those guys because they can't, you know, go to the big city because they don't have no money for, you know, for traveling or whatever. And what you see is when you go there, is the contrast between yourself and those guys automatically makes you attracted to women. That's the same story if you, like, go to Brazil as a Dutch guy, and purely because you're from the Netherlands, you're interesting to women.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's just because they get something a bit different. I mean, there's actually a back when I used to use routines and stuff, there was a line that I used to use, which I think it's still pretty valid now if anybody wanted to use it, but you know, just to give something to listeners, I'd actually say to people, I'll go up to a girl and go, hey, random question. I was talking to some of my friends last night, and I just wanted to see if this was true for people outside of my friend group. The men in your life, do you find them really friendly and treat you super nice? Or are they kind of like, you know, assholes that, you know, just kind of like use women and what have you? And then you listen to the response. Now, what's really funny here is she's about to tell you what all of the men in her life are like. So she might be like, oh, no, they all, you know, they're really nice. They all treat me well. And that means, you know, that every single guy in her life is sucking up to her. He's trying to be cool. He's trying to make her want him. And she's not putting out with any of them. So at that point, you can go, what a bunch of suck-ups. I mean, they're obviously just sucking up to you just because they want to fuck you. Like, why would you hang around guys like that? And at this point, you become a dick because you know that none of the men in her life are being a dick. So you generate a lot of attraction that way because you're standing out from the rest of the crowd. In contrast, if you find out that all of the guys in her life are dicks and they will treat her and they're all just trying to sleep with her, then you can be like, oh my God, why would they do that? Like, these guys, that's so... You know, they're just rude. Like, they must just see you as an object rather than wanting to know you. Like, I can't believe that. Like, we've noticed that a lot. And then you come across as the nice guy when everybody else in their life is being a dick. And you know you're going to generate attraction on that point. So, yeah, I'd say, like, specifically contrast game, if used in that way, is going to be very powerful. And it's definitely something I used to use when I first started.
Yeah, me too, man. Me too. Brilliant. So, when you look at, like, social circles and, you know, compare it to... And I mean, really, you know, the social circle stuff where you, like, hang out, go to parties together, you know, hang out just at your home playing some... guitar or whatever, or watching a movie, you know, the real social game stuff, when you compare it to like a day game, club game, online game, what do you think are like the advantages and the disadvantages of it? Because I don't really hear people talking about it, and I think that's important to know, right? Things to look out for and stuff.
Wait, you're saying using social game for online game or instead
no,
of?
No, I mean using social game only to meet women, like, you know, no internet, no clubs, bars, or on the street. What's like the major disadvantage of a social game, or, you know,
honestly, I think that the one thing that social game has as a disadvantage is it takes up time, but the time it takes up is time that you're spending with beautiful women that you want to hang around with. So it's kind of like one of those things that you have to weigh up and think, well, is it such a bad thing? Personally, if you look at it, like, the community is really small. There's maybe, I know, 1 million people, maybe 2 million around the world that do this. If that, like, it's not the biggest thing in the world, and guys are still getting laid. And you have to ask yourself the question, are we the ones that know the truth, or does everybody else have another method? And of course, the truth is everyone else does it differently. And the way that everyone else does it is through their social circle. Most people only ever date within their social circle. Pre-game, the few interactions I had were all with my social circle. You know, social circle is the normal way that we get attracted, that we build attraction. It's the safest way to do it. It's the way that you're going to get the highest quality. But it is time consuming. Online game can make a lot better rewards a lot faster, but you're not going to have the same kind of selection or the ease that you would have with social game. So it really is based on just different people and doing what they, you know, whatever you fancy.
One of the other disadvantages of social circles is like when I first started to learn women, you know, and meeting and dating, that kind of stuff, I was like a nobody. I didn't know anything about women at all. Didn't have any social skills. Approach anxiety from here to Tokyo, right? And the whole thing was my social circle then was entirely different from my social circle now. And what guys have trouble meeting women with is basically whenever they have a success, their social circle talks them down. I don't know if you've ever noticed that, but you know, when they, when they get better with,
like,
women.
But that's because their social circle is probably made with men. Because men will always compete with each other. They get jealous of what you're doing. The trick to real social circle game, and we'll be talking about like entourage game, is you want a social circle completely made of women that are attracted to you. That's the aim of it. You know, these women don't have to even be super hot, but they do have to be attracted to you, because that's going to give you the pre-selection that's going to help you get the girls you want. Men are only going to compete with you over the women.
Yeah, because that's where the whole problem starts, right? Because when they learn how to meet women, you know, you have the guy before from their old social circle who was like the man with women, and now suddenly he sees his position is lost to like the dude who used to be, you know, a douchebag, a wushy. And he obviously he gets jealous because of it. But what you also see with the women of your old social circle is they aren't used to, like, you know, the picky you, the challenging you, you know, the mysterious you. They aren't used to that. And what you always see, at least what I myself have been through, is they kind of reject that stuff. They kind of act like you're not being yourself. Blah blah. They used
to have over you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that's it. Like, that's why I say, like, the key about Entourage Game is really creating a new entourage. Yeah. It's creating a new social circle filled with women you want to hang around with.
Yeah.
I would purposely keep your old friendship group separate.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the fine just, little details, right, that men seem to forget out there, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, in your old social group, just treat it like your old social group, you know? Like, just hang out with your old friends. As a completely separate thing. Don't try and game your old friends. they're your friends, they're your old friends, but they're nothing to do with game. From a game point of view, you set it up and build up you build up your entourage of cock girls you want to hang around with, and you use that, and the next thing you know, you're getting laid like a rock star.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the whole thing about your old social circle is when you start learning this stuff, is what I always advise people to do is you know, that's also a big part of self-help, is get a group of people around you who are success-minded. So get people around you who are more successful with women, or better with women, or, of course, women themselves. And that's where the whole tricky stuff comes into play, because guys usually think they can get successful all by themselves, which can be true, but it's a lot harder to do when you compare to, you know, gathering a mastermind group around yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. It's so much easier just hanging out with other girls, you know. But like, I really would, I would say that in this particular community, it is better to, if you do get a group of guys, don't hang out with them. Meet up with them, discuss and share notes. But when you're going out, don't make the mistake of hanging out with those same guys. You know, I would limit yourself. If you're going out with guys, make it just one other guy. Keep it very small. You can have a group of 20 guys, as long as they only go out in twos separately, so that they aren't just flooding an area. Because adding 20 guys to any club will instantly make you a sausage fest.
yep. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Cool. So, let's say someone out there is listening to this interview and has no social skills at all, or no social circle for that matter, and basically he's as afraid of approaching as can be, right? How would you like help him build his social game? Say he knows nothing about women at all. Are there like any tips you can give him for you know, befriending women, for example?
But the first thing is, he's got to get used to approaching. Like, if approaching anxiety is the key, he's got to get over it. The best way of getting over approach anxiety is to use a system called systematic desensitization. It's a psychological effect specifically designed to get over any kind of anxiety. And it's, what you're doing with that is you're slowly exposing yourself to a subject until that particular thing doesn't scare you anymore. So if you're scared of approaching, don't start off by approaching hot women. Just approach anybody. Get used to talking to staff in shops. Get used to talking to random people on the street. And, you know, just use a basic, hey, just wanted to say hello, have a great day. Something like that, just to get over the fear of actually approaching. And then the way systematic desensitization works is you slowly increase the fear stimulus as you overcome it.
Yeah,
so once you're comfortable saying hi to people, then you can start being a bit more selective over who you say hi to. Then you can try and keep the conversations longer and so on and so forth, until eventually you're having these full, long, blown-out conversations with women you're attracted with. Then to make them as friends, what you're looking for is to generate that topic, that thing that they're interested in, that you're interested in, whatever it is, whether it's an art gallery, whether it's movies, whether it's a regular movie night, like where you invite your friends over to watch a different type of film. Yeah. One of my friends organizes, they got a restaurant club where they will go to a different restaurant every month, and like they take turns to choose it. Whatever it is, whatever your social circle becomes. And then all that happens is whenever you meet these girls on the streets, you go, hey, me and my friends, we've got an art gallery. You know, you should come along next Sunday, check it out. It's free entry. We organize it in our house. You can display your artwork. And any girl that's interested in art is going to come along, which, of course, gives you the exact kind of girl that you want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, the whole social proof stuff, or like, you know, approaching just anybody also, you know, helps. Because say you approach like a guy that works at the Burger King or whatever, you know, just jump some random store, right? Because if you start a conversation with the guy and say you have like all of these kinds of interests in common, you can also, you know, get his number, not to pick him up, obviously. But, you know, because you never know who someone knows. I had this, you know, one of the major major examples I can give you of, you know, the whole you never know who someone knows kind of stuff was like, when I was working at this distribution center for clothes and that kind of stuff, and always this this really really ugly girl always came to me, you know, talk, but I was just like, you know, I gotta learn this stuff, so I have to start somewhere. So I just started conversations and blah de blah. And one time she invited me to her birthday or some kind of party. You know, it's like the how do you say it, the Hindu culture kind of parties. You know, around the
Diwali.
Whole, yeah, Diwali. Yeah, exactly. That, that was the word I was looking for. Thanks, man.
That's okay. Yeah, I've had lots of different ethnic groups, so you kind of like learn all the different holidays.
Sometimes I have Alzheimer, right? So no, but seriously, when I got to the party, I was like amazed because the girl itself, I wasn't attracted to her at all. We could only talk about, you know, about the kind of. Who created the universe kind of stuff, you know, the whole religious debate kind of crap. And I arrived at the party and I was amazed to see what kind of women attended the party because it was all hot women.
Yeah, of course. That's the whole point. Like, that's why you should have a good female social circle. Like, most ugly girls I know, their best friends are gorgeous.
Yep.
You know, they surround themselves with beautiful women. Like, and that's the point. That's a very easy way to get in. But the trick is to make sure that you're not doing it specifically for the girls. And this is... I think the mistake people make is when they're trying to befriend them. A girl will know very quickly if you're befriending her just to find her friends.
Yeah.
You should be befriending her because you've got a reason to stay in touch. Whether that's the art gallery, whether it's going out to parties, whether it's just you both like the same kind of food, whatever it is, having that reason to stay in touch will give you a basis for the friendship, and that's what you can use to get into their social circle and bring them into yours.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see, when it comes to meeting women in groups, like approaching other groups, right? That's one of the challenges inside, for most people wanting to meet women online. Say you go to a club, right? Women always go out like in you know, in twos, you know, with their best girlfriend or like with a group of 4 to 5 women. But I always notice that men always ignore the other people in the group, which is a major mistake because what happens, they feel like, you know, you have ignored their entire existence, and what they'll do is just cock block you, man. They'll say to the girl, oh, I'm so tired, let's go somewhere else, blah, blah, blah. And that's one of the major mistakes. But what can you, do you have, you know, any tips for meeting women in groups?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, I mean, in an ideal world, you're going to get introduced to the group because you're doing it through social circle. If you're not, then the main thing is to make sure that when you first open a group, open it with pre-selection. Open it with a pre-opener, sorry. So you go into the group first, you open them for 5 seconds and leave. That'll get them used to seeing your face. They can tell you're not a weirdo. They can tell you're not really trying to hit on them. And then when you go back to the group, you're not opening them cold. You're opening them warm because they've seen you earlier and they're comfortable with you. They know who you are.
Yeah.
And at that point, when you go back in the second time, you want to make sure you're engaging the guys, engage the whole group in a fun kind of way, so the group sort of give you the group permission to hang around. Then at that point, you can move in and start gaming a target. And if you're really clever, you'll ignore your target in the first two opens so that she doesn't feel particularly connected to you, so that when you start giving her attention, she kind of feels she feels a little bit more included and she fights a little bit harder to talk to you.
Yeah. One of the things I've noticed about meeting women in groups is when you start, you know, acknowledging the others in the group, and specifically when you have like an all-female group, is when you start, you know, what I always do is start talking to the other women and ignore my target, right? But I also start teasing those other women, you know, and just having fun with them, you know, playing them out, playing all kinds of bets and that kind of stuff. And what I always see that happens is when you start, you know, teasing them first and then move to your target, and, you know, later on when you get her number and decide to go on a date with her, guess who she'll ask if she should go on a date with you or not? The same girlfriends she went out with, because that's usually her best girlfriend. And that's one of the major advantages of meeting women in groups. I found to be one of the major advantages,
Exactly, dude. That's exactly it.
Yeah. So, let's see. How would you, you know, play it when you want multiple women from one social circle? Say you want, like, example, I know your girlfriend's name is Amanda. Say you want Amanda and, like, Stacy. How would you go about doing that without ruining your entire social circle?
Well, the thing is to remember, a girl won't date down. She won't date a girl. So she won't date a guy that one of her girlfriends has dated if she thinks the other girl is below her. So, for example, in Amanda's social group, she's easily the hottest girl. There's a lot of very beautiful girls that she hangs around with. You know, you can just look at her Facebook and look at the pictures, and you'll see, like, all of her friends are actually pretty hot.
Yeah.
But Amanda's definitely the hottest. And she, you can tell that by the way that guys react to her, by the way girls react to her.
Yeah.
And what happens is, if we were going to use her as an example, you wouldn't be able to take one of Amanda's other friends and then go for Amanda. Because Amanda doesn't see her friends as being less attractive than her, but she's got a rule, and that rule is that she won't date anyone that her friends have gone for. Whereas I know from experience that her friends are more than happy to have, you know, Amanda's sloppy seconds, should we say.
So, yeah.
So in reality, you know, and you know, that situation explains it from a personal point of view, but it's something I've seen more and more often. The hottest girl in the group won't go for a guy that one of her friends has already been for, because it lowers her value.
Yeah.
She's always prided themselves on, you know, looking after themselves, keeping themselves, you know, as unavailable as possible. And that's part of the allure that keeps them being the hottest girl in the group, because not everyone has had them.
Yeah.
And so in reality, if you want to get multiple girls in the group, you have to start with the hottest and work down. Remember that once you choose a girl, if she isn't the hottest, that's your benchmark. You won't be going any higher than that, not easily.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
in reality, start hot and work down.
Yeah, that's basically the whole social status thing, right? Because I experience that stuff too myself. Say I see a girl talking to one of my friends and he's like lower value than me. I also have the same thing, right? Because I was like, first you're talking to him and now you're talking to me. I don't know what you want from me, but I don't want you, right? That's the same kind of effect. Yeah, it's all about social status, man, when it comes
that's
to
exactly
multiple women. Yeah.
Exactly.
So let's see. I'd like always like to throw some challenges at the people I interview just for fun.
But, okay, no problem.
Okay, say you're out with your group of friends, your social circle in this club. You do not really know the club itself or the people inside there, but out of nowhere, a couple of guys start talking up some of the women from your group. What do you do when you kind of get the sense that they work there? That's also a challenge, you know.
You
know,
a bunch
the
of guys you've never met before suddenly come up and hit on the girls in your group.
Sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah, a bunch of guys that you've never met before come up and start hitting on the girls in your group.
Yeah, say because you know, in when you go to a club, it's always the doorman, you know, and the bargerman, and like the bartenders who try to hit on the girls, right? Because they know they kind of have a higher social status than most guys in there. So how would you go about that?
Right, okay. What this used to happen so often to us because obviously we used to work in clubs and things.
Yeah.
We would give the guys women. We would find girls that we wanted them to have, and then we would make that girl go for the guy. And the guys, because they're not pooers, they always go for the easiest thing. So if they've got a girl that's throwing themselves at them, that's the one they're going to go for. As long as she's pretty hot, they'll do it. So we used to just pick girls that none of us were really interested in and send them after the guys. You'd be like, hey, that guy really likes you. And of course, because they've got high value, the girls are more than happy to go for it.
Yeah, very, very good solution. Very good solution.
Yeah, it's fast and easy, and that way you don't have to worry about competing. At the end of the day, if you try and screw them over getting anything, then you're only going to end up with competition. You know, they're going to want girls, and if you've got a big social group of girls, it doesn't matter. Even if you don't, you can just pick other girls in the club, and you can be like, hey, my friend's a bouncer, he thinks you're cute. You know, come over and let me introduce you. Done. It's very easy.
Yeah, of course. And you can later use that, you know, the bar guy or the door guy, you know, to get in for free, that kind of stuff.
That's exactly what we used to do, and that's how we used to get a lot of our favors in the clubs.
Yeah. So, let me think. Let's throw some other challenge your way. how would you go about when you're on the streets or you know in one of a tight situation where you don't have a lot of room to move? Like, how would you even show your pre-selection? Say you're in a busy shopping mall where you know people are crawling all over the place. How would you even go about displaying your value? Because the moment it gets really, really busy and uptight in a club or in a shopping mall, that's basically the whole effect gone to waste, right?
Now that's where it's easy, man. The more people, the better. Because if you're in a big shopping mall and there's lots of people, it's so much easier to open people around you because there's so many to choose from that you just get chatting to them. When they like you, you've got your pre-selection, then you can open the ones you're interested in. Think of it like a street performer. The street performer needs the crowd to perform. He needs a big group of people saying how cool he is. You're doing the same thing on a smaller level. You're chatting to a few people here and there in the shop. They're giggling and laughing. Girls are actually opening you because they can see that you're making people in the crowd laugh, so they look at you and smile, and you can take that indicator of interest and use that to open them. It's actually very easy. The hardest situation would be if it was just you and a girl. But of course, even that's easy, because in that situation, there's no competition and she's got no one else better to talk to. I promise you, the more you understand this, the easier it is. There's no such thing as a bad situation.
No, of course not, because that's like one of the problems of guys always ask me about. Say, what do I do when it's really busy in there, blah, blah, blah. But I regularly coach guys when I go out and, you know, meet women in clubs and bars, right? But the funny thing is, whenever it gets like really busy and, you know, the place is filled with an entire crowd going wild and stuff, that's really easy to meet women. Why? Because you can easily, you know, pretend like she bumped into you and, you know, tease her for it and that kind of stuff. And also when you like want to move to another section of the club, right, what always happens is you have to like wait in line to get there, because it's like all those dudes also want to get there, right? But what you usually see in a club is like women standing around, like you know, especially those women who are like convinced they should come by their girlfriends, but they're really not in the mood. You know what I'm saying? You know, those bored kind of girl types?
Yep.
But they usually stand around, right? And what I always do when I wait in line, or so to say, is when I see one of those guys, you know, I'm waiting for, do something dumb, or, you know, like trip or push people aside, always look at those girls and just, you know, shake my head, oh, what is this guy doing, right? And they always smile, and whenever they smile, I know I can, you know, approach them.
You got it, man. That's exactly it. That works every time.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know if you remember it, but you were like on the Real Man conference, you know, in Amsterdam.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, exactly. And you started your conversation or your whole speech, or so to say, with one of the crazy things that happened to you while learning how to meet women.
Yeah.
So, you know, the punch in the face story.
I remember that story very well. I was there.
Yeah, exactly. So, what I always like to do also in my interviews is ask, you know, guys, because I always have these kind of adventures with women. You know, I always have these situations when I want to go somewhere and the place is closed and I end up doing something else that goes, you know, way out of line, that kind of stuff. So, my question is, what's the craziest thing that ever happened to you? Was that the punching story,
There were so many situations that were just completely surreal. Surreal is the only way to describe it. I mean, I remember going back to some guy's house. I have no idea who the guy is, but he had a penthouse apartment. And I was back at his house with four girls.
Yeah.
And I gave him two of them, and I ended up in the other room with these other two girls, both of them desperate to have like a threesome. And I was just sitting there thinking, this is like the most surreal experience. Like, I don't know who the guys are, I don't know who the girls are. I couldn't even tell you the girls' names. And I remember having this moment of like, am I really here? Like, is this really happening to me? And then the girls started doing cocaine, and like, I don't do drugs or alcohol or anything. Like, I'm pretty straight-laced.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is like completely insane. Like, this is like the kind of thing you watch in the movies, and here I was living it for real.
Yeah.
And it was funny, like, when I was there, I kind of like just switched into game mode. So nothing really, you know, I just, you know, closed, did the deal, what have you. And it wasn't until the next day on the way home that, you know, because I didn't sleep, I'm walking home at like 5 in the morning, the sun's just rising.
Yeah.
And I'm having that, oh my gosh, no one's going to believe what happened. Like, no one, and I'm convinced the guy was a drug dealer. Like, I'm convinced he was like the most shady guy on the planet.
Yeah,
like, and no one's ever going to believe me. And there is actually a photograph of me with the four women. It used to be on projectentourage.com, but I think they took it down now. And it's just a picture of me with four girls and this random big guy that's just standing in the background.
This gorilla, right?
In the photo. Yeah, no one knows who the guy is, but that was the drug dealer. We went back to his house. It's the strangest thing. So, yeah, that was probably the weirdest, you know, one of the most surreal. But there were so many, man. Like, times I had, like, I had sex with four girls at once. Like, we videoed that. It was crazy. Like, it was just crazy. Crazy times, but fun. But I think, you know, the most amazing thing that ever happened to me was, of course, 2 weeks ago, because I got married. And that was the best thing, I think, that could ever have happened to me.
Yeah, I know. You went, like, on a honeymoon to Hawaii, right?
Yeah, we had a honeymoon in Hawaii and in Disney World afterwards. So it was crazy. But I mean, Amanda's, you know, she's the most amazing person. I couldn't be happier. So
awesome, man. Awesome. You should definitely send me that picture of the gorilla guy, man.
Yeah,
that's probably got some laughs over here.
It's really funny, man. The guy just looks so awkward as well. He's trying to get in the photo. I'm like, damn, man, you're like a really rich, weird, druggy type guy, and you're trying to force your way into our picture. So.
Yeah, man. I also remember all kinds of crazy stuff that happened to me, right? You know, because my girlfriend is an Iraqi woman, but her family doesn't really agree with me seeing her. or should I say, they don't really know about it. But yeah. One of the craziest things that ever happened to myself was, it was like, you know, it was, I think it was the day after my birthday, and I went over to her, you know, sneaky in the middle of the night with my car, driving over there, and her parents didn't know anything about it, but they were like tired because they had this kind of party and stuff.
Yeah.
And she opened the door of her home for me, you know, like a sneak downstairs while her brother was away working his night shift or whatever. And I had to, like, you know, take off my shoes and walk upstairs really quietly, because her room is next to her parents' room, right? But yeah. I almost had a heart attack when I reached, you know, the first floor, because the door of her parents' room was open. So I almost fell down, you know, because I was like, what the fuck, her parents are awake, man. So I was like, whoa, what's happening over here? And I heard her parents, you know, snoring, and I knew from, I could see their bed, because I knew I had to, you know, like, be really careful with going inside a room, because if I woke them up with any sound at all, I would definitely be fucked. Because I don't know if you know, like the Middle Eastern culture.
I'm well aware. I've had my share of Persians.
Yeah, exactly. So, and her house is like really noisy, right? The walls are really thin. So, imagine me being over there at like 3 a.m. You know, we're doing our thing, blah blah blah, while our parents are asleep. And amazingly enough, we didn't wake them. But just when I was about to, you know, leave and go to my car, you know, I was thinking, yeah, I've done it, you know, safe escape, blah blah blah. I heard the front door open, and her brother came in, right? So I had to, like, run to her room while her parents were still snoring and the door was still open. And I had to, like, hide under her sheets, her, you know, her bed covers. And she was laying in bed over there, and her brother came to talk to her inside her room while I was laying there with her. And that was, like, scary stuff, because those guys, I know her family, and her family is like, well, if they find out she has a boyfriend, especially a father, they'll definitely kill my ass. So I was like laying there, fuck, what do I do with my naked ass when this guy pulls down the covers, right? Crazy stuff, man, crazy stuff. And I what I found is that this kind of stuff always happens to you when you, you know, get better and better with women, which is one of the most awesome things I've ever experienced.
Exactly, man, exactly.
Yeah, man. So, when it comes to, you know, meeting women, there's a lot of talk about, you know, inner game and natural game. But let's talk about inner game for a sec here. Because do you think it's really a matter of character traits? You know, how you can display the right character traits, or more, like I said, you know, the pre-selection kind of thing?
From my point of view, inner game comes from experience. Like, if we're talking about confidence, the only way you truly get confidence is with competence. The more you do something, the more confident you get. I think realistically, if you're really looking for solid in the game, the best thing is to go out there, get the practice, and the more you do it, the easier you find everything.
Yeah, exactly. That's like the whole, you know, the natural approach, because when you repeat something often enough, it becomes a routine. And when you do that routine often enough, it becomes like second nature, right? And that's when you don't even have to think about stuff anymore. There's no stress approaching anyone, starting conversations or blah, blah, blah. That's just a matter of experience, man. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, man. Exactly.
And so there's a lot of talk about, you know, these naturals, like you said before. There's a lot of guys doing other ways that the community doesn't even know about it. And do you have, like, any examples of naturals you met where you were like, wow, I gotta implement this guy's stuff, and what kind of stuff did he use?
Do you know, since being in the game, I've never really met a natural that impressed me. I've seen pooers that are much more impressive than most naturals. I find most naturals just accidentally get whatever they get, and they're very, you know, it's very quick for them to suddenly become very AFC if they meet a girl that isn't doing whatever they want. You know, like, I'm not really one to be that much impressed by naturals. Every time anyone's ever said to me, oh, you got to meet this guy, he's a natural, he's going to be amazing, I haven't been impressed.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, the best thing that you can learn from really is, you know, they work their social circle well, they're confident, but most of the stuff they teach, you know, we've known in the community for a very long time. I think the best natural I ever saw was the guy that actually, long before I even started the game, he showed me pre-opening. And it's something that I worked out quite quickly in the game, and I was like, wow, there's a natural guy that actually does that. And I thought that was quite a technical thing to do, to open a set very quickly for 5 seconds before going back in there. And it was very deliberate. It was something he did very deliberate. And he's one of the few men I know that opens cold. Most naturals don't do cold approaches, but this guy definitely did. So, yeah, it was impressive.
Yeah, okay, sweet, man, sweet. So, well, basically, I've said everything I wanted to say. So, awesome. So do you have any questions for me?
Do you know what, dude? No, I don't think I have. One thing that I did want to give, though, was for absolutely everybody listening to this, I love giving away sort of like free content when I do these interviews. I know you've mentioned that you like doing the same.
Yeah.
So what I've done is I'm actually putting up a page, especially for everybody listening here, to give a few more tips specifically about how to like look at your social circle and build it up. Because, you know, there's only so much you can take from an interview, but I've got a nice little document I've put together with some social circle tips. And I'm going to, that's going to be up on my website if you're listening to this now, www.attractionexplained.com/winwithwinning. So if anybody's interested, they want to get some free free advice and a little bit more detail of how to make their social circle work, then that's the best way to check it out. Attractionexplained.com/winwithwomen. And also, if anyone's looking at live camps, we don't have a current European tour planned. However, I suspect there will be a European tour next summer. We will definitely be doing like the Netherlands. We will definitely be doing
Scandinavia. Right?
So, dude, you're going to have to come along and say hi, man. We'll have to do a lunch. But if anybody is interested in that, the only way to find out about our live dates is puatraining.com.
Yeah, sure, man. And like you said before, I also like to, you know, give away free stuff. So I'll probably hook those guys, you know, everyone listening right now up with some, you know, great content, free stuff, maybe a report or something. I have all these kinds of stuff about social game and that kind of thing. So yeah, sure, we'll hook them up, of course, man, obviously. And you know, whenever you're in the Netherlands, definitely give me a call, or you know, or I'll give you my number in a sec right there. So yeah, we should definitely hook up.
That sounds good. send us your number, we'll do lunch.
Yeah, of course, man, of course.
Brilliant.
So, well, basically, like I said, that's all I had to say about social game, and I hope all you guys out there that are listening to this call, I hope you enjoyed, you know, the insights we shared with you. And, you know, go to the website Adam mentioned, have some fun over there learning all the new insights and, you know, our free stuff, our reports and that kind of stuff. And I, well, only thing I have left to say is, well, have a nice day, man.
Brilliant. Cheers, bro. Thanks very much.
Okay, cheers. No problem, man. Bye-bye.